Well, good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Coder episode 76. Thank you for dialing in today, and special kudos go out to those who dialed in early as insiders at 10 o'clock. We had a wonderful talk by Paula. We're going to get into our questions in just a minute. I just want to remind those of you, especially if you're new, calling in for the first time today or maybe the second time today, you can review all the previous episodes of Coffee with the Coder, or any of them that you like. We've got headings to tell you kind of what they're about. At aq-iq.com, you can just go to the Ask tab, and one of the options is Coffee with the Coder. So there is where it lives, all the previous episodes. Plus, you can submit a question in that same place, or if you choose, you can use that question box to tell us what topics would be very, very interesting to you that maybe we want to bring up on the insider portion at some point. We would like to invite you all to become insiders. There's two ways. Actually, there's two groups of insiders. There's the show-up insiders. You come at 10 o'clock and you hear all this extra new stuff that Paula talks about outside of the questions and answers. Or you can join our private Facebook group. The price of admission, and I put that quotes in the air, is your selfie with something AQIQ. We call that your mugshot. So you can, if you've ever purchased anything from us, put that in your selfie, or you can put our website or draw our name on a piece of paper. Anyway, you and us together in a selfie, that's called a mugshot. And the reason we came up with mugshot is because we commissioned a special mug for your drink, because it's Coffee with the Coder, so it doesn't have to be coffee, but we commissioned a special mug, and it has our branding on both sides, and those are only obtained for free. The way you get them is to submit a question that is used on an episode. Now, you're invited to submit questions anonymous as well, but to be in the running for the mugging, you have to use a name, your name. So we're going to only call your first name. But we're excited to share Coffee with the Coder with you and everyone that we know. What we'll do with that selfie that you send in is share it on social media, share it on our website, and if you're on Facebook, of course, we'll put you on that private group. So, yay!
Hey, Pam, how do they submit that selfie? How do they submit that selfie?
Ah, yes, that's a good thing. reach out to me, okay? So if you're not getting email from AQIQ, that would be a good thing. Be getting the email, and you can just reply to it with your selfie. And if you're getting the text notifications about Coffee with the Coder, you can reply to that with your selfie. And if you don't have either of those, our phone numbers on the website is 877-976-6677. Just reach out to me, and I'll help you. So, yeah, it's not difficult to do. There's lots of ways. We try to make it easy. Are you ready to get started?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So the first question is from our friend Rebecca, who works in an inpatient rehab. And I believe Rebecca has actually been a winner before, if I'm not misremembering. But here's her question. When coding for an inpatient rehab, can ICD-10 codes be assigned on admission based on documentation on the pre-admission screening document? So the physician reviews it, enters additional comments, signs and date, and it becomes a permanent part of the medical record. Of course, the HMP is used for coding, but can the PAS, that's pre-admission screening, be used as well? I've received conflicting information about the use of this document for coding purposes, so clarification is appreciated.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, Rebecca, for your question. And I got to make one more plug, I'm sorry, before I answer this question, because I posted yesterday on several of our Facebook groups a special. I posted a picture of myself and my two of my daughters in a costume. And if you will post your Halloween pics, it doesn't have to be you, but you know, your Halloween pics, and then you'll get a special prize from AQIQ and Coffee with the Coder. So anyway, just wanted to say that, make that plug. Anyway, so thanks for your question, Rebecca. And that was her question, I wanted to restate the question, is that she wants to know if we can use the information from the pre-admission screen to code from. Now, let's talk about this, the pre-admission screen itself. The tool is created usually 2 to 3 days prior to a patient's admission to IRF. And for those of you who don't know, it's a document that the admission liaison completes. It It includes information on the patient's illness or injury that's causing them to need rehabilitation. It also includes information on comorbidities that exist and prior function ability. The liaison searches records and talks with staff at the referring facility and even the patient to get the picture of the patient and the severity of illness to determine if they are appropriate candidate for the inpatient rehab facility. Then writes the story of for physician review and determination of admission. In some IRFs, the physician reviews and signs the document, making notes of justification after determining if the patient is appropriate for admission. In other facilities, the physician may be the one filling out the screen in the first place, or he may have created a document himself where he dictates that information. Now, CMS states that the pre-admission screening must be comprehensive and accurate, timely, must support the admission decision. To ensure that it is a comprehensive and accurate, we require that it be conducted by a licensed or certified clinician or group of clinicians. That is, that it be conducted either in person or through a detailed review of the patient's referring hospital medical record if the patient's IRF stay was preceded by a stay in another hospital, and that it include a detailed and comprehensive review of the patient's condition and medical history. So you see how detailed that is. After the screen is completed and the patient's admitted, regulations dictate that the physician create a post-admission a physician evaluation, which is his or her statement that they agree with the pre-admission screen or disagree, you know, and provide details why. Also, a plan of care is created, and usually that plan of care information typically is based on information in the pre-admission screen. That said, when coding IRF encounters, it's important to be able to view the pre-admission screen. I've audited some facilities, and the coders couldn't even see the pre-admission screen, didn't know it existed, that or the team conferences. I usually start with it when I'm reviewing a chart and then look at the H&P and the post-admission physician evaluation. If there's information listed on the screen that is not elsewhere in the record, I would question whether it should be reported. Perhaps maybe I would perform a query, especially if I saw treatment in the record for what I was seeing in the screen that wasn't stated elsewhere. Often, the screen is extremely detailed, and the provider might not state all that was included in the screen, even though he or she signed it initially and indicated that their agreement on the post-admission physician evaluation. So this is a challenge that we have in the documentation world. In some cases, the diagnosis details are stated more specifically in the pre-screen than elsewhere in the record. Now, according to CMS, the medical record needs to support the screen and show that the conditions identified in the pre-admission screening actually were applicable throughout the encounter. So we agree with this statement, but also agree that coding rules state physician-validated documentation may be utilized for coding. So if your screen is signed and amended by the physician, it may be used, but a word of caution. Validated information, you need to look for validated information in the rest of the chart, and where there's discrepancies, consider queries, especially, like I said, if there's chart information that reflects a condition was treated, but it wasn't stated anywhere but the screen. Now, often, I also see, let's use CHF as an example, where CHF is documented all through the medical record, but in the pre-admission screen, it gives the specificity. I would use that document to provide, to code the specificity. So there you have it, Pam. That was a long-winded question. So if we can move on to the next one, I'll try to get that in.
Yes, it was long, but it was clear, so thank you. Yeah. Okay, so now we also have a question from Nicole, and I think this is hospital. So when a patient is admitted late at night by the residents at a teaching hospital, but the attending makes rounds in the morning, she gives three options. Does the attending, A, bill admission for the date the patient was admitted, or B, bill admission the date they laid eyes on the patient, or C, bill a subsequent visit and not an admission? So this is a teaching facility, and the guidelines state that the attending has 24 hours to sign the note. And also, I noticed the Medicare guidelines state the attending must lay eyes on the patient before they can bill.
Yeah, great question. So I'm going to go ahead and answer the question, and I'm going to give you the background of what the answer is. It would be B, the day that the physician, actually saw the patient. So PUB 100-04, the Medicare Claims Processing Manual, Transmittal 2303, which was dated 9/14/2011, states, when a medical resident admits a patient to the hospital late at night and the teaching physician does not see the patient until later, including the next calendar day, there's three things that has to happen. The teaching physician, number one, the teaching physician must document that he or she personally saw the patient and participated in the management of the patient, and they must reference the resident's note in lieu of redocumenting any history or exam or medical decision-making. Number two, the teaching physician note must reflect changes in the patient's condition and clinical course that require the resident's note to be amended with further information to address the patient's condition. And three, this is the real answer to the question, the teaching physician's bill must reflect the date of service he or she saw the patient and his or her personal work of obtaining a history, performing a physical, and participating in medical decision-making, regardless of whether the combination of the teaching physician and resident's documentation satisfies criteria for a higher level of service. For payment, the composite of the teaching physician's entry and the resident's entry together must support the medical necessity of the billed service and the level of service billed by the teaching physician. So there you have it. Thank you for that question, Nicole. So Pam, I think I talked long. Do we have time for our next one, or do we want to save it for the next call?
Well, we've been 11 minutes already, so let me save that for the next call. It's a good question.
Okay.
You ladies and gentlemen, please join us in 2 weeks on the 18th for episode 77 so you can hear that question. But it's time for us to mug someone, give away one of these specially commissioned mugs that has AQIQ on it and tells you how smart you are. And so there are two non-anonymous questions today. One is from Nicole and one is from Rebecca. And let's find out who is going. I've got their names on papers that I cannot see, spinning them around, and let's open one. Who gets today's mug? Nicole, we'll be reaching out to you to see where to send your mug. Thanks for the question, and thanks for dialing in and telling your friends. Look us up on Facebook. Look us up on aq-iq.com, and we look forward to seeing you again on the 18th, episode 77.